That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant. And that old wheel has rolled around again. It is Saturday morning and time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It's a little thin here at the Radio Ranch microphone today. No, not me that have lost weight, but we'll have the phones open today. Our brother John is traveling and not able to join us this morning. And if you've been tuning in this past week, you know our brother Jason has a funeral this morning. And he had an uncle that passed away this past week. And so he's taking care of family business that, you know, sometimes, not that we desire to do that, but sometimes it's just that's what you have to do. And that's where our brother is there. And so we'll have the phone lines open today. And if you'd like to give us a call this morning, 307-745-5913. Got a couple songs to, I think we'll get through later today. And I thought we'd talk a little bit about, excuse me, authority. Authority. And that ties in with our Bible reading plan. And it ties in with what may be a change of authority that we see going, but we'll have the phone lines open as well. But let's start out with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, good morning, and thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this cold weather that you've brought upon at least this half of the nation, Lord. Thank you for this day of life that you give us, that, Lord, we get to get up and do it again today, Lord. And as we do that, Lord, help us to remember to thank you and help us to walk in your ways. Lord, help us to hear and listen to the Holy Spirit when it speaks to us. Lord, and then help us to be doers of what you direct us to do. Lord, help us to be doers. Help us to practice that righteousness that is pleasing to you and that blesses us, O Lord. Father, as we see the turmoil in the world, Lord, we see the turmoil down in Fort Lauderdale at the shooting at the airport, and Lord, we see the turmoil all across the world, Lord, the persecution of those that claim you. Lord, help us not to lose hope. Help us not to lose faith. But Lord, help us to remember that you are in control and that you direct these things. And that, Lord, when the trials come upon our lives, Lord, that they're for our training, for our testing. And that, Lord, it is for us to learn obedience, for us to learn discipline. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who willingly went to the cross to save us, to do what the law could not do, as we read in the book of Romans. And we thank you for that. And thank you, Lord Jesus, Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and friend. Thank you for that. Heavenly Father, I also thank you for our pastor that went before us, Lord, that paved the way, that laid the foundation, Lord, that built the foundation of this ministry and built this ministry up, Lord, with the guiding of the Holy Spirit and with the support of the saints. And Lord, that foundation is on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. It is on that foundation that we stand, Lord, both as a ministry and as individually as your servants. And Lord, we thank you that you allow us to continue to build upon this ministry, to build upon that solid rock foundation. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that the word goes out all across the land and that, Lord, it's still heard, that the remnant still hears and still obeys. And we thank you for that. Praise ye the Lord. Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit today. You say we have not because we ask not. Well, Lord, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be here with me today, Lord, at the Radio Ranch, to guide and direct my thoughts and my words, that, Lord, they would be, well, Lord, it would be a good time of fellowship this morning between all of us. And I give you the praise and glory. Lord, thank you. And, Lord, be with the remnant. Oh, Father, be with them as they get this Saturday started, as they're up and having coffee and tuning in, Lord, and let your blessings be on them, O Lord. Let us start our day in praising you and thanking you. And that's a great way to start the day. And I thank you that you allow us to do this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And what a day it is. Wish I could send you a picture of the Radio Ranch, because you can see the red barns and everything else is white. And oh, what a beautiful sight it is. I'll try to get a couple pictures, and we try to put some pictures on our postcards we send out from the ministry and in some of the correspondence, and I'll try to do that. Of course, we've got some piles around. We've been running just about all day Thursday. We had to run the tractor with the snowblower because we just had snow everywhere. And, you know, when you have 3 and 4 foot drifts throughout the yard and in the driveway and down the road, it makes it a little difficult to get out and get around. Couldn't even get over into the office. Had to get the snowblower out on the tractor and get some snow out of the way before we could even manage to get over here. But praise the Lord, we're warming up, and I think we're up to about 5 degrees this morning. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for your prayers as well. We know that we were without power for a few hours the other morning, and that can get a little rough. We've got a wood stove that we use as well as a natural gas furnace. And there's something about that wood heat. I've heard people say in the past that it's the frequency, and that may very well be what it is. But that wood heat has got to be one of the best heats that there is. It just warms you right quick, and boy, it'll run that chill out of the air. Well, we will have the phone lines open this morning. I know you don't want to hear me talk for another 45 minutes. And the number, if you want to call, is 307 845-5913, and we'll do our best to get you on and have a comment or two. Had a good update from the great state of Alaska. Our brother Howard up there got a, we had a need for baptism that came in to the ministry last week. And we were able to, it just so happens the all the brethren were in Fairbanks. How about that? And the timing was right, and got a text from my brother Howard on Thursday evening that, hey, Brad has been properly baptized. The angels are singing. And that is what happens when we obey the word of God. When we are doers of the word and not hearers only, not believers only. Yes, we are to believe. The Bible tells us he who believes shall be saved. But that's not the only scripture in the Bible. And we have to take all of the scriptures if we're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we're going to have a true understanding of the scripture. We have to take all of them. And one of them is repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is the name. It's not Yahusha, whatever. We speak English today. We have the Bible in our English language. And his name is Jesus Christ. And that is the name above all names. That is the name that we have salvation in. That is the name that we are saved in. That is the name that our sins are forgiven in. And the Bible's very clear about that. And so we hope that even in my broken English, that that's clear enough to you out there. Well, we are almost a week. Actually, we are today a week into this new calendar year of 2017. We hope you are reading your Bible. And folks, if you have a spouse, because I know that not all do, but if you have a spouse, I encourage you to read your Bible this year. Try to do it as much as possible with your spouse. And if you have time in the morning when you get up, if you have time, maybe you can get up 15 minutes early and get that coffee on 15 minutes early and take some of that 15 minutes, usually 10 minutes a day. You know, is that really too much to ask of the Christian remnant here in this heavenly kingdom of America? Is that too much to ask to read your Bible for at least 10, maybe 10 minutes a day with your spouse? Now, if you don't have a spouse, that's fine. But still, read your Bible. Read your Bible. One of the tools this ministry puts out is the Bible reading plan, and we've been doing it yearly, and it answers, by putting this out, it answers the question. We're told in knowing the days that are around us, seeing the evil in the land, what sort of people ought you to be? What sort of people? And we ought to be the type of people that are reading our Bible, that are understanding our Bible, and that are applying our Bible. You started this week, we've got the first 14 chapters of Romans, and boy, that sounds like an awful lot. But, you know, compared to last year's Bible reading plan, reading a couple chapters a day in the New Testament and one or two in the Old, this is a lighter plan. It truly is. A couple chapters a day, Romans, and before you know it, you're just through it. You're through that, and you want to read more. And so I encourage you to do that. You know, when you tune in to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, we have a variety of programs. You know, Jason many times brings a health program. and he'll have interviews with doctors. And you know, your prayers for Dr. Dan are sure coveted and appreciated. The last update I got from Jason is Dr. Dan's doing better. He is still going to therapy, and he is improving. And part of that is because of your prayers. And so, Remnant, we thank you for that. We covet your prayers. I pray for Dr. Dan by name daily. He's helped us quite a bit with those very things, with herbs and those type things. And so, you know, you might hear some of that. You might hear, you know, some things pertaining to good health, not the pharmaceuticals and the pharmakia, but the good natural health. You'll hear those type things here on our programs. And if you tune in on Sunday, I think you can hear the Armchair Survivalist. He has a lot of good things. And the Mechanic Science Hour and you know, of course, the live broadcasts and the Wednesday night prayer meeting, the highlight of the week. And so we have several different categories, I guess, that we try to address here at Scriptures for America. And but you know, one that you won't get a lot about future worldly investments. We'll talk about the news. You know, I've got here on my on the computer this Fort Lauderdale shooting suspect. You know, that looks like I mean, the only thing I haven't heard about this is him yelling Allah Akbar as he's shooting it. But this Esteban Santiago kills 5 people, wounds 8 more at the Fort Lauderdale airport. Came in, I think, from Canada. And so, you know, that you can bet that there's something going on in the background. Saying the government's controlling his mind, and you'll hear a few of those type things, but you know, we're not a news network. Now, if you have online access, we sure try to have some interesting news stories at the Newswire at the SFAWBN.com website, and that's SFAWBN.com. And we do try to share some stories that might not make the national news, that make the local news at times. But we do try to share some news stories there. And we do have some health programs that are on, and you know, somewhat of a variety of programs, okay? And so, one thing that we do try to put out and try to encourage you to do is to store up those treasures in heaven. And one of the ways you do that is read your Bible. And you may get tired of hearing it. Well, if you get tired of hearing it and you're still fighting it and not doing it, well, maybe that's a conviction from the Holy Spirit that you're fighting. Because I don't think you're fighting me or the rest of those of us here when we're encouraging you to read your Bible. Got the good hot coffee here this morning. So anyway, if you've read your Bible, you've read through this morning, we're reading, let's say today is January 7th, 2017. And we're reading Romans 13 and 14 today. And Romans 13, of course, is what we hear a lot in the Judeo-Christian world about: be subject to government. Oh, do what the leaders say. And so we encourage you, if you want to know what it says, well, why don't you read it? And maybe you've read it before. Maybe you read it a while back. And I have. I've read it before. But if you read it again, well, you might see a new meaning. A new meaning might jump out at you. And so, along the lines of Romans 13, not going to read it this morning. Most people have a Bible. You can turn to it and read it. But Romans 13 talks about putting on the full armor. And it talks about loving your neighbor. It talks about love being the fulfillment of the law. And it talks about authority. And it talks about being in subjection to the governing authorities. And so it can be a little confusing if all you read is a couple of verses out of Romans 13. But that's not what we're encouraging you to do. We're encouraging you to read the whole Bible and just to take a year to do it. And that's fine. It's part of our Christian walk. Many years ago, Pastor Peters came out with a pamphlet. It was from a message he had preached. And we have sent probably as many of these pamphlets out as we have any of them. And it's called Authority, Resistance, or Obedience. And it ties in. It's not all from Romans 13. But it does start. It starts out with Romans 13, 1 through 7. And so I encourage you, if you're not familiar with this pamphlet, if you're not familiar with our teachings, Pastor Peter's teachings, and this ministry's continued teachings on the authority issue and on Romans 13, then I encourage you to write and to request this booklet, Authority, Resistance or Obedience. It's a small pamphlet, and it's an easy read. It's only 20 pages long. And, excuse me, and I think you'll have a better understanding, a better true biblical understanding of Romans 13. And so we encourage you. Authority, resistance, or obedience. If you want a bunch of them, we'll make you a deal on a bunch of them if you'd like for passing them out to people. And that'll be a way that you, the remnant, can further the kingdom. Can be, as Psalms 51 says, can teach transgressors their ways. It's one of the ways we can do that. Well, phone lines are open. 307-745-5913 if you'd like to call in this morning. And we'll do our best to get you on the air. Another pamphlet that goes kind of hand in hand with this authority, resistance or obedience pamphlet. Another little booklet is called The Bible. Of course, that's a big booklet. But Pastor also has a pamphlet that's out that, again, came from a sermon. And it's a smaller summary, you might say. It's only about 12 pages long, but it's called The Bible. Handbook for Survivalists, Racists, Tax Protesters, Militants, and Right-Wing Extremists. Sounds like a handbook for deplorables, doesn't it? Because that is almost word for word the description of the deplorables that the left came up with, those that did not support them, that supported their enemy. Anyway, this book, The Bible, and the Bible is just that. It is a handbook for survivalists. And in this pamphlet, Pastor points out, you know, who in the Bible was a survivalist. It points out that the Bible is a handbook for what the left calls and what the enemies of Christ call racists, tax protesters, militants, and right-wing extremists. And you know, if there's ever been a right-wing extremist, it was Jesus Christ. It absolutely was. And for tax protesters, do you remember the story of Gideon? Do you remember the story of how, when we're introduced to Gideon, what he was doing? It's way back in Judges chapter 6, if you want to look at it. It's nothing new. Protesting, trying to keep a little bit of what the government is is wanting to take a whole lot of is nothing new. And so you can read back in Judges 6 that when we're introduced even to Gideon, it says, then verse 11 tells us, then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. And so this pamphlet as well, their foundational teachings of this ministry, their foundational ministries of Christianity, authority, resistance, or obedience. It's a great little essay on Romans 13. And then the pamphlet that kind of goes with it, the Bible Handbook for Survivalists, Racists, Tax Protesters, Militants, and Right-Wing Extremists. We'd be glad to send both of these to you. You know, if you just really for any donation, we print these, and we've had to reprint them, so they're not what you'd call free, but, you know, we'd be glad to send them to you. It's what we do here. Authority, Resistance, or Obedience, and the Bible Handbook for Survivalists, Racists, Tax Protesters, Militants, and Right-Wing Extremists. Well, going to go to a song, and, well, I see the phone ringing. Why don't we go to there first? We'll go there. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wrangler today.
The Wrangler.
Just the Wrangler, Joe. How are you doing, brother?
Yeah. Oh, just fine. How about you?
Oh, fighting a little, you know, when we were 35 below zero.
Yeah, you sound a little nasally.
Yeah, 35 below zero yesterday, and we're up to about 5 degrees today, and out in it a little bit, blowing snow and feeding cattle. It kind of gets to you a little bit, but we are abundantly blessed. And
yeah, it's hard to breathe in that kind of weather, I'm telling you.
Yes.
We're subject to that, but not as severely, but we're still getting it. But, I've been looking into Romans. I skipped the forward a few chapters here a few days ago. Romans chapter 13 was written by Paul. And it verse 3, when you read that, I think it's verse 3, you actually, his persecution and the persecution of the church actually proves that out 100%. Because they did nothing but good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
They did nothing but good. They helped people. They paid their taxes. I'm just guessing, you know.
Right.
But that's it. That's, you know, when you argue godly government, there was no more ungodly government than the Roman Empire, and then even later on when Catholicism gripped Europe in its talons, you know, and squeezed every copper penny out of the people, forced them to go to church, and read to them out of a foreign language Bible, so that they couldn't figure out what was up and down, and then the priest and everybody told them what it meant.
Yeah, that was we think that there's a racket today. It's nothing new. You know, they and in their court system today, they still have their own language. You know, a totally separate language that's not unlike that that Latin that was, you know, like you said, just, you know, that's what the reading was given in, and then it was the.
I guess the first Bible for the people was the one that Luther penned. If I'm not too off on my history there.
Yeah. Well, and it is. In Romans 13, you know, when we read through it, you know, there are several things that kind of jump out. And you said verse 3, for rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. Now, that doesn't mean in every instance, every day, but as an overall excuse me, as an overall way of life. You know, but it's when you have a godly authority. It goes on, you know, for it is a minister of God to you for good. And then down in verse 7, render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And, you know, Jesus addressed this when they came to him to try to trick him about, well, you know, do you and your disciples pay the tax? And, you know, he said, well, you render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And I think that has a great reaching effect as well, that ties in with this. Custom to whom custom, tax to whom tax, honor to whom honor. And I think there that if we give fear to God, who is worthy to be feared, and we give honor to God, and we honor those that are honorable here, then that goes a long way in, I think, in our life here. Now, it's not, you know, we're not in the kingdom. We are in Babylon.
Yep. In Acts, you have this guy who was hammering out the idols to the Roman gods and stuff. Do you think that perhaps he was hiding a bit of the prophet himself? Not only that, but he was making the stuff out of gold and silver. Do you think maybe he was throwing in a bit of pot metal and just hammering over some gold leaf and selling it for a full price?
Probably. You know, we're kind of like...
You think that may not have been going on there?
Well, you know, it's going on today. When you look at companies like Ford and Boeing that have been in the news lately that, you know, President-elect Trump is kind of brought to the limelight, shined a little light on them, you know. And Boeing says, oh, well, you know, we could probably... We could probably cut a little fat off that new Air Force One fleet, you know. And Ford says, well, yeah, we might bring some jobs back. And it's just a pittance to what they were, but that's what comes to mind, Joe, when you mention that. Because, yeah, there's nothing new under the sun. There's not.
I bought a number of, for instance, shortwave radios. They're all made in China. The companies themselves may be Japanese or
yes,
Taiwanese and so forth, but you breathe on these radios too hard and they'll malfunction. I got one that changes bands by itself.
Hmm.
You know, in the sunshine, it'll just all of a sudden turn off on its own. So they're put together, but pretty much just, you know, for general knowledge, it's I actually took this radio to a TV VCR repairman, and it was a relatively new radio. It was a kind of a large portable, and he said he couldn't find parts for it anywhere.
Yeah.
And he told me that it's most likely it's the solder joints, because the Chinese are using substandard materials. One of the things they do to cut costs is to, you know, they cut their solder with some some material that reduces the conductivity of it. So.
Yeah, but it's cheap, you know. The people here have been, you know, that's one of the things I think that the people here have been brainwashed about, you know, is that you got to get it, you know, oh, the lower prices every day, lower prices every day. Well, you know, you get what you pay for, literally. You know, that's the way it should be. And, you know, it's a shame that it's that way, but the people have just been, they have been brainwashed to think that's value. That's, you know, that lowest price. I mean, you see how even our people, and I'm not talking about the other people, the masses that are here, but how our people, on days like Black Friday and you know, big sale days, will you know, camp out and do without sleep and leave their family to go stand in line to buy some more of this China junk. And it's just stuff. And our enemy.
It's all for somebody else. If it ever occurred to people that if you just stop buying these things, well, it's not so bad to buy something for somebody as a gift, but to buy it just to conform.
Yeah.
To buy it to keep a child from screaming and hollering, and you know that's one of the things of Christmas. And the thing it has occurred to me, because I can witness to it, it happened to me, is the greed and covetousness it fosters.
That Joe, you hit it right on. You hit it right on the head. And boy, you step on people's toes when you start talking about this. I mean, good Christian people, and that just. Oh no, but it's not like that in my family. That's not how we do it, and it is. Overall, it promotes that greed, that covetousness. I remember growing up feeling that way. You know, oh, you wanted this, you wanted that. We weren't poor growing up. I knew people that were poorer than us, but you know we were your just standard middle class family, you know, didn't have a lot of money, but you know, we did Christmas and I remember growing up and it was never enough. You know, it was never enough. If you got a BB gun, you didn't get the nice one that you wanted as a child growing up, as a greedy, covetous, ungodly child that just wanted more. Yep. And now it's not just the children that are that way. You know, it's the adults. It's all of society, and it is the whole concept. I saw something. I don't remember the exact percentage, and I don't want to give a number out that I don't know is true. But it seems like it was in the 70 percentile range of non-Christians that celebrate Christmas. You know, and so it's. You know, people talk about it being a religious holiday and all that. Anymore, it's bunk. And I did hear, we had church on December 25th, and had a snowstorm rolling in like crazy. So I just went there from the ranch, and the family stayed home. And as soon as it was over, as soon as we got the DVD church done, I jumped in the truck and started heading back. But I was listening to a... on the radio, I think it's called Grace FM. It's a you know, a Christian broadcasting group out of North Denver. And the pastor was talking, and he was giving the sermon. It was from about 2 weeks previous, but it was in December. And he said, you know, we know that Christ wasn't born on December 25th. It's just that's when we celebrate it. That's when we recognize it. And my jaw just about dropped. Because, you know, here he is in front of probably 2,000 people. And, you know, the masses, that's like telling them there's no Santa Claus. And, you know, but here was truth that was going out even down there. And so I was encouraged by that. You know, we're told when you read through... Here in Romans, in chapter 14, you know, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. And you read through it, he talks about here, you know, in verse 5 of Romans 14, one person regards one day above another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes it to the Lord. And in the Lord. And so when you read Romans even 14, we see that, and this is my thought on it, Joe, that, you know, we're not to judge people, Christians, if they partake of that, you know, if they do it. If they do it, Romans 14 says they do it to the Lord. And that we're to love our neighbor, and love believes all, and we're not to judge in that. And I do my best not to. You know, my oldest son will be 27 next week. And that's hard to believe. Wow. And, you know, probably for the last 25 years, we really haven't done Christmas. You know, we haven't got a tree, we haven't wrapped gifts, and oh, we've gotten a few things for, you know, for friends and family and whatnot, but, you know, we don't really, what you'd call, celebrate Christmas. You know, we do our best to celebrate Jesus Christ every day of the year.
Amen.
And, but, you know,
the thing of it is, if you paraphrase one of Pastor Peter's old, I think it was Easter, is Easter Christian? The thing you have to ask yourself is Christmas Christian? And if the Bible doesn't say we are to celebrate the birth of anybody,
right?
But the question you got to ask yourself is it a sin?
Right.
And when you boil it all down and you listen to that Easter sermon, I think it is definitely a sin, because it draws people's minds away from the truth that is going around us, and it feeds a system based on lies and deception. After all, there's no such thing as Santa Claus, except in old ancient European mixed pagan tradition.
Yeah. Yeah, Pastor Emery had a great little booklet out, and that was Pastor Peter's, you know, presented that to us years and years ago, you know, we were convinced, and you know, that booklet is still put out by America's Promise, and I think that's what it is Christmas Christian, and Pastor references it in older messages that he has, and you know, because it does a good job, and it went around the email this past December, and it just pointed out the traditions that they all have pagan roots, you know, as much of you know what we have today in our society does have pagan and ungodly roots.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
And
in and of itself, it's not sin.
Right, right. Yeah, is it transgression of the law?
If we get one wayward sheep,
right,
to at least acknowledge that Jesus is Lord,
amen,
then it would have been worth it.
Amen. And so, and I think that's, again, what Romans 14 says, you know, is when you read through it, and it's good to read through it a couple times, you know, whatever is not from faith is sin, is how it wraps it up. That's how Romans 14 ends. Whatever is not from faith is sin. Now, we know sin is transgression of the law, but as well as whatever is not of faith. And because it tells us that, you know, when we are to do things, we're to do them in faith.
And what verse is that?
That's Romans 14, 23.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, verse 22 and 23. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. And, of course, that's not just whatever comes to mind, but it's in line, you know, whatever he approves in line with the word, in not wanting to offend and not wanting to be a stumbling block, but wanting to stick with the truth. In verse 23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and whatever is not from faith is sin. And so, you know, you can't just take one verse and build a theology around it. This all goes together. Just like in Romans 13, telling us to love our neighbors ourselves, and here in 14, these principles of conscience. They don't do away with the law of God. They don't do away with the food laws. They don't do away with any of that. But it ties in, I think, with loving your neighbor as yourself. And anyway, well, Joe, I got another line ringing.
Okay.
It was good talking to you. And
yeah, I'm here.
Praise the Lord. Have a blessed weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey. Good morning, Rich. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. Good. Hey, this is James up in Idaho. Hey, I had a question about John's announcement last week. I'm not sure if I understood it about the schedule change. Is everything being shifted an hour earlier for the communion service
sermon? Yeah, James. What we're trying to do, and in you know the best laid plans of mice and men, sometimes catch you at inopportune times, but What we've had is we've had some requests from the East Coast to if we could, you know, get the Sunday sermon played earlier. And being okay. that, you know, sometimes it's live, sometimes we bring a message, but more times than not, it's one of the recorded messages from Pastor. And so what we're trying to do is have it set up so we can play that the earlier hour as well as the later hour, kind of like you know, some of the I know churches in our area will have two services, and so the kind of the live hour, you know, if we get a Sunday school, a Scriptures from America by Pastor, or I'm hoping I can get back in and get some more reviews of the news and scriptural insights and those type things. That hour should stay the same. That and some music and communion, that will stay the same. And so in Idaho, are you on mountain time there?
We have a little notch out here in the Coeur d'Alene area. We're actually Pacific time, so I'm an hour before you guys.
An hour earlier than everything. So what we're trying to do is from 9 to 10, normally we're just meeting in the local church and having coffee and have a little Sunday school in there. But what we're doing is now is we're going to play that 9 o'clock, which of course will be 8 for you, the Sunday sermon, you know, that we have from Pastor. And then the 10 to 11 will still be maybe a Sunday school, a Scriptures from America. I think we've got a brother coming out to bring a little message here the end of January. So that'll be interesting.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that. And then, you know, some music and communion, of course. And then we'll also play the pastor's message the hour after, which we have been doing. So really it's just it's adding that message an hour early, and then our goal is to have more live during that 10 to 11 o'clock hour for us, which I guess would be 9 to 10 for you, a little early out there to the west. And so
that's okay though. I'm a morning person, so I'm welcoming the change. That'll be nice to go ahead and listen to the sermon early, so that's okay by me.
Right.
Not that you're running this ship according to my needs, of course, but that works just fine for me.
Sure.
So I'm gonna appreciate that.
Good.
And I do like your review of the news, your scriptural review of the news. I enjoy that program, so I'm glad to hear that you might be having some of those in the works, because I was wondering about those. And also too, Richard, maybe not the forum, but a question for you. I noticed the music has changed a little bit, where there's some rewrites of like Johnny Horton and Johnny Cash and things like that, which is stuff I really, really like. I used to listen to Johnny Cash and Johnny Horton a lot as a younger person, and I know we're kind of, or it seems to be changing a little bit to a little more contemporary music, which I'm not saying it's bad, but is the goal to shift one way to all new music, or is there still going to be some of the old rewrites of like Johnny Horton and some of the which I consider fun stuff? Those are really fun songs,
sure,
and got a message to. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah, James, no real set, you know, shift or you know, we our goal is to praise God. Our goal is to you know, to encourage one another, to love and good deeds. Our goal is to grow in His grace and knowledge, to you know, the things that we see in, you know, to in the Word, where we want to praise Him, we want to worship Jesus Christ in truth and in spirit. And so it's not that we've, you know, thrown all the old music out. You know, many of those, I think we did 5 circuit riding preacher songbooks that Pastor Peters did. I think we put the 5th one together after he had passed, but you know, it was music he had put together. And so he, you know, during that time, over the last 10 years, it was kind of time for that. And so, you know, we're not just replaying those. You know, we're praying about the music and just wanting to, you know, as the Bible says, kind of be all things to all men. You know, it's funny that you have some people that just, the old saying, you can't please all the people all the time, you know. You have some people that you know that don't enjoy those old rewrites and don't, you know, kind of get the gist of it, you know, like some others do. And then some of the, some of this newer stuff, you know, if it's not, you know, if it's not the Mormon Tabernacle Choir singing something, then they don't want to hear it. And so that's just how the sheep are. So we're trying to bring a variety. You haven't really thrown anything out per se, but just trying to you know, try some new things. And
we are a fickle people. Yeah, it's not that I don't enjoy or appreciate the newer stuff. It's just harder to follow along with, because most of the time, due to my poor internet, I have to listen on the phone line, so I call in. So I don't have any visual aids, so I use the books to drive the cat crazy by my turtle singing. But I follow along in those song books. So with the newer songs, not having visual up or video up, I kind of just stand there. I'm not necessarily able to participate. So the old stuff I can participate. So anyhow, enough of my complaining. I really appreciate what you guys do. I appreciate you being the Lone Wrangler this morning. And one last thing, a comment, two comments before I let you go. I know you're getting the end of your hour here. I appreciate the Bible reading program you put together this year. I've ignored the others. I never even looked at those booklets. And for some reason this year, I think the second day of January, I looked at the one you guys sent in the mail, and it's really not heavy lifting. As long as you can do the two or three a day, it's actually very simple. So I've been doing it, and I hope I can stay with it the entire year. So thank you for putting that together.
Sure, Jim.
And John's message of loose lips sink ships really hit home, and he brought up a great point, and I'm very guilty of this, whether it's work or home. If I'm working in the garage or in the yard, if something goes wrong, I'll curse at it. And John had brought up a great point about, well, when you curse at it, does it get better? No, it doesn't. Usually it goes further south. And so that really hit home for me. So I'm this year, in addition to trying to stick with that plan, I'm trying to clean up my act in regards to my mouth, you know, trying to really clean that up, because it's been bad for a long time. So
Praise the Lord. His
message about that really hit home, so I appreciate that.
Praise the Lord. That's the purpose. You know, we are all supposed to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, none of us arrived. We're all still on that journey, and that's great to hear, James. I appreciate that. I'll sure pass that along to him. And
thank you.
And I could say the same thing. I you know, it hit home with me. I remember a story our pastor used to tell. We have a working cattle and horse ranch here, and so we've cut hay and put hay up for the wintertime and run cattle and different things, and have always just tried to keep, you know, we've got some old H's and M's, old tractors from the 40s and the 50s that you just keep running, you know, because they're paid for, and you know, we can work on those. And got an old neighbor up the road, Art, and he's a tractor guy, and so I've been out here going on 16 years, but before I was out here, Pastor would have Art down working on the tractors, and Art's he's a Church of Christ, but man, they, you know, colorful language. He's about 70 years old, and Pastor would make that same comment. You know, Art would be out there and GD this tractor and blah, you know, and finally Pastor would tell the story that he said, Art, he'd say, brother, we're trying to fix this tractor, not curse it to hell. And he said, Art kind of, you're right. And he apologized. And so, you know, Pastor didn't blast this elder, this older gentleman, but he kindly corrected him. You know, he kindly presented it to him. And I've always remembered that. And this message by John, this loose lips, that brought that back to mind, that, you know, we have to look at ourselves. Wasn't that one of the great things about communion? We are to judge ourselves rightly. And you know, if we need to clean up our language, I know we all do. We're men.
Yeah.
You know, men, but,
you know,
but it's part of it.
Like I said, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, John's point about, does it help the situation? No, it doesn't. If anything, me, when I would let my colorful commentary fly on work on a car or whatever the case may be, I would just get more angry, mm-hmm. and the inanimate object, it doesn't feel anything, right. you know? So me getting all riled up and mad about it didn't help the situation. Like I said, it just probably go further south because now my concentration's not there. Now I'm flustered. So it was just a great point. And sometimes it's just that different perspective or just the one line that will really hook you. And that was the line from John that really got me thinking, wow, you know what? I really need to clean up my mouth. I really do. So thank you very much. I'm going to let you go this morning. I know you got to wrap up. Thank you so much for your time. I don't say thank you nearly enough to you guys. I throw a quick scratch-written note in the tithe I send in from time to time, and that's about it. So I thank you very much for all you do. It's very much appreciated out here.
Well, thank you, James. Have a blessed weekend. And
you too.
God bless.
Take care.
Well, folks, you heard it. That was an unsolicited promo, you might say, for reading your Bible. And right here in Romans 15, it's going to be a few weeks before we get there, but it says, verse 4, Romans 15, 4, and I guess we'll go out with this as we're wrapping up. It says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And you know, hope does not disappoint, but perseverance, encouragement of the Scriptures. If you don't read them, how are you going to be encouraged by them? Well, as we wrap up this morning, we do thank you all for tuning in and joining us. We thank you, the Remnant, for supporting us and allowing us to keep the bills paid so that we can continue to be here on the radio and to continue to broadcast out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all over the world and all over this great country, the true gospel message of Jesus Christ and who the true covenant people of Scripture are. We do want to invite you and welcome you and ask you to join us for church tomorrow morning, Sunday morning. And you can see the message at 9 a.m. And then we'll have that message again at 11 a.m. Mountain Time. And so we encourage you to join us. We'll have music. We'll have a communion message. And we will remember what our Lord and Savior did for us by going to that cross. And it'll give us a chance to look in the mirror, to examine ourselves as that Bible, as the Word tells us to do, to kind of reset, to give us that strength and energy and forgiveness that we need to go at it for another week to further His kingdom. So you can join us at church at the website scripturesforamerica.org and just click on the live video stream. Or you, if you don't have too good of internet, like James mentioned, you can click on the live audio stream and listen in. So we encourage you to do that. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless those of you that are His, bless you and keep you, make His face and countenance shine upon you, be gracious
rolling,
to you.
Rolling,
in Jesus' name,
rolling,
amen.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, stake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them out,
snake hide.
Moving, 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 moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.